For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Does Kentucky have more of a quarterback battle than people are really discussing? That is going to be the conversation on today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. I'm your host, Andrew Sfoniak, writer and editor over at Kentucky Wildcats on SI, joined as always by my co-host, Carson Nash, hitter up Rena Dunk Cam, you're that way, and special guest, knower of all things ball, dressed as if he just left a funeral, Big Mike, Dirty Mike, Michael Collins is here, and we're going to break down a little Kentucky football today. So, fellas, here's the question, and we'll start with Carson, and we'll hear from Mike, and then I'll obviously drop some knowledge on everybody, but there's been some serious building hype around Gavin Wimsatt. And am I buying it? I don't know. And that's going to be the conversation today. Are we buying the hype that we've seen over the last few days, few weeks? So, Carson, tell us first, are you buying into this hype? What are your thoughts on Kentucky's quarterback situation?
Well, right now I'm kind of torn, okay? Because those highlights that they posted from the open practice, Gavin looked really good. He looked really fast. He looked comfortable throwing on the run. He was also helped out by his receivers some. Fred Ferrier made a really nice play on a ball. And he's been a standout at practice too.
Yeah.
But I really don't know. I think this team hits its ceiling if Brock can be the best quarterback. But I think if not, then Gavin might be a secret weapon we could go to because he brings that speed that most quarterbacks don't have. So it's a different weapon that you could use. And I wouldn't even be surprised if Bush throws them both in there at sometimes. Yeah. He's been talking about it to the media. Two quarterback system would be interesting. I don't know if I love that, but we can see how it goes.
Mike. Thoughts.
Yeah, so I really think that it's Brock's job to lose, and we're gonna have like this QB battle in the media for the next few weeks until the season starts, and then you know Brock's gonna start unless something crazy happens, and if he plays well, then like Carson said, we'll be the best we can be if he's playing well. Now, if something were to happen or if he's not playing well, we're loaded at the quarterback. I mean, not like completely loaded, but we have good options. Gavin Wimsatt, his highlights were super exciting to look into. And I mean, I'm not too worried about quarterback. It's just like we can talk all we want. And that's why we're doing this podcast today is we want to talk about, well, maybe it's not as much of a lock for Brock as we think it might be.
Lock for Brock is lit.
Lock for Brock.
That was awesome. I know that you like wrote that down and you're like, I got to work this in somehow during this spiel I give.
You know, things like that just come to me. I was, you know, I got the roster set up over here and I was just looking at, yeah. I looked over at Brock and Locke had already entered into my mind. So I was just like, lock for yeah. Brock. It's not necessarily a lock for Brock yet.
Andrew mm-hmm. already determined his nickname was the Red Rocket. So
yeah. It's a little boring. I mean, we've had Andy Dalton.
The Red Brocket.
Oh, that is awesome. Okay.
That is awesome.
All right. Yeah. That might be the one.
The Red Brocket.
I'm going to put that in an article like right now. See if we can.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I'm your wordsmith over here.
You got to make
it. That's why you'll have me on every few months.
Yeah. We need to get that on a t-shirt right now. Those would sell. Okay. But my thoughts on this, I'm not buying it. I think as fans, all fans do this, of every team in every sport. The backup quarterback, I mean, you know, the backup quarterback, we all love the backup quarterback. You know what I mean? Everybody loves the backup quarterback, especially when your starter isn't maybe playing great, or maybe you see some highlights. I think it's just a fan thing. I think people love the backup quarterback. We've all done it. You know, I mean, every fan you at one point in your life has been, man, this backup quarterback can play. Watch out. Week five, you never know. We've all said something like that in our lifetime. Gavin Wimsatt is a huge, huge addition to this roster. I love what he can do with his legs. He can move. Was he great throwing the ball last year at Rutgers? No, he was not. He was completion position was not great. He was kind of okay. He wasn't awful, wasn't great. He was okay. He's looked great throwing the ball so far, which is cool to see. He's also a Kentucky kid, which we love that. Quarterback room is just filled with Kentucky guys. We got our goat, Bo Allen. We've got Cutter Bowley. And now we've got Gavin Wimsatt. So, I mean, we're full of Kentucky kids, which is awesome.
Yeah, you know who was great at throwing the football last year?
Who?
Bo Allen at Tarleton State.
That QBR, disgusting.
Quarterback rating 142.3. Find another QB in D1 that's doing that.
Yeah, yeah. Good luck. I challenge you to that. That's our goat. We always have been and always will be a Bo Allen podcast. Remember that. Yes, but no, I mean, here's the deal. Brock Vandegrift is a really good quarterback. And I'm so serious. I want everybody to check. I want us all to check ourselves. I want us all to go, maybe we are getting excited by the backup quarterback. We've all done it at one point. Brock Vandegrift, there's been a lot of highlights, a great throw from him too. You know what I mean? We've heard a lot of good things about Brock. Coach Stoops has talked to the media and gone up and said great things. He's our guy. We believe in him. We trust him. Here's the deal. Last year when Devin Leary wasn't great, Kentucky didn't have what they have in this quarterback room. That's the reality. You know, there's options now. There are genuine options in this room, and they're rolling with Brock Vandegrift. I think he's going to start. So I think if you want to have this conversation, it has to be more in week four, could we see something happen? To me, that's the conversation. I don't think he beats him out in the next 25 days. But I think Brock Vandegrift, I mean, at Georgia, he was behind Stetson Bennett and then Beck. I mean, those are great quarterbacks. So, I mean, y'all tell me this. This is what I don't know. What moving off of Wimsatt, we'll get back to him in a minute, on to Vandegrift. What about Brock Vandegrift gets y'all excited for this season? Mike, we'll let you go first as we let Professor Nash go first last
Professor
time.
Nash, yeah, I've got a few other names for him after this weekend. But anyway, Brock Vandegrift, he's exciting because the unknown. I mean, obviously we've watched his high school highlights and you know, he comes in at the end of games every now and then for Georgia, or he did. So for me, the exciting part is the unknown. I kind of throw that back to the Big Z podcast that I was on, and we were super excited about because all we had was these highlights, and no, he turned out all right, and he's gone now. But it's the unknown, and you can really hype somebody up by that, and you can hype them up too much, or you know, you can stand them up to this high expectation that you want them to be at, and they end up being that. So just that excitement factor for me is the unknown and the hope that he's going to be really good. And he's a bigger guy. I mean, kind of reminds me of Will Levis. He's not that tall, but seems like he could be that gunslinger type quarterback.
It's a great comp. You know, I'll let you go, Chris. But the Levis is a great comp based on Levis didn't do much at Penn State. He comes over where we all go, who's Will Levis? Who is this guy? And now he's awesome. He's getting ready to start for the Titans. Like, this stuff happens. So, Carson Vandegrift, thoughts? What gets you excited?
Yeah, I mean, he was a five-star. One that gets me excited. There's not many of those in the country. So, physically, he had to do something right. I think he has a strong arm. He's a bigger guy, right? Will Levis is a good comp. And we're all thinking that because he was a backup at Georgia. Levis was a backup at Penn State. They both didn't work out there. But what I really like about Brock is he's mobile. So Kentucky last year struggled because our offensive line play wasn't up to par, and Leary couldn't get out of the pocket because he wasn't mobile. But Brock has the ability to lengthen plays instead of just getting sacked on every touch. And that's what excites me because he can throw in the run, and the balls that he throws are on a zip. Like, they're no joke. So that gets me excited. He can see over the line. He's not going to get the ball batted down like Leary did all year last year, it seemed. So yeah, and you mix them in the run game a little bit too, and that opens another pathway for offense and success. So yeah, Bruck's got me excited. I think you're right, Andrew. I think four games is right where they'll tell. I think if Brock is playing up to speed and the offensive line play is good and everything's going right, he'll be our guy. If we need a little different setting, maybe we'll go Gavin Wimsatt. But I think Brock's going to be the guy. I'm excited because I think Brock could be really good this year and maybe move on. And then Wimsatt learns because they both have 2 years. Wimsatt learns under him and then maybe explodes his senior season. And then Cutter follows him. So I really like this quarterback room. It's really exciting stuff.
I will add one more thing that you kind of reminded me of, Carson, when you were saying that Wimsatt would learn under Brock. Brock Vandergriff learned under Stetson Bennett, who we all know is like 45 years old by now. But he was an experienced college quarterback.
Great game manager.
Right, and you see that in the NFL quite often with the Green Bay Packers recently, mm-hmm. With Aaron Rodgers. I had to bring it up. But, you know, that experience – to show a quarterback that's backing up them can really prove to do well.
Yeah. Now, I want to ask you a question, Carson, because I think you said something that was a little bit wild. And when you say that he is mobile, okay, let me ask. Are you saying – I want to ask – I'm going to give you tiers of mobile. Are we talking like the Big Ben, like it's hard to sack him, but he's not going to really go anywhere?
No, I would say like a Patrick Mahomes mobile where it's not going to blow you away.
That's fair.
It's not going to blow you away, but he can extend plays to make it to where it's harder for the defense to game plan for him.
And if he's got green grass, we'll take it. That's fair. Yeah. I thought you were getting ready to talk me into him being like Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. I'd be like, okay, now, come on. Now.
No. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying to extend plays because Leary, it seemed, couldn't even extend plays.
Yes, that's – no question. No question. That's a fair comp. I like that because the escapability, if there's green grass, will take it, but he's not looking to run.
Looking to throw, but if there's grass, he's going to take it.
So I got a narrative, which to me it's wild that this hasn't been discussed. And it's almost like it just hit me now. George is coming to town. You know, he was the guy. He's a five-star quarterback. Recruited to Georgia, never got the time of day there. Anybody? Is anybody biting this storyline for me?
I've been biting it.
This is the year that Stoops finally gets his Georgia dub. Come on now. He snagged him. He snagged him a Georgia quarterback. He said, Kirby, I'm coming.
You are not going to hear me predict Kentucky to beat Georgia.
I probably wouldn't do that either.
But I do think – I'm serious. Like, these are the little things. Like, I can't believe that's not being discussed more than it is. I think that
– It will be. It will be, though.
It will be, but it should be now. I mean
– After we beat South Carolina, it'll be a bigger story.
Is that week four, right?
No, South Carolina's week
– No, this is week three.
Georgia game's week four, isn't it?
It's Georgia game. No, Georgia's week three. It goes Southern Miss, South Carolina.
South Carolina, then Georgia.
That's right.
I mean, you're telling me – I don't know. I'm not saying Kentucky's going to win that game. If it was in Athens, we wouldn't even be having this conversation right now. But it's in Kroger Field.
It'd be a good birthday present for Mr. Stefaniak.
It would be, but that's my – but do you see what I'm getting? Like, is anybody going to take debate on this? Why is this not being discussed more than it is? These are the things that you hear after the – well, I guess it's what is it? What are we now, ABC now? Instead of – I don't even want to get into that. That just makes me mad. But the whole
– Instead of CBS.
Like, I mean, can you not just see Kentucky somehow winning this football game? And this is more – this is a hypothetical narrative. I'm not saying I think they're going to win. But then it's just – and Brock Vandegrift takes down Kirby Smart, his old team. He played 37 total snaps in 7 years. And you know what I mean? Like, I can just see that narrative. I can see that happening. Like, that's just the things that happen in college sports. And that'd be the biggest win in Kentucky football history, would you say?
Oh, yeah. LSU?
Probably. What
I'd say so. I mean, because you win that game, your schedule sets up nicer than it did in 07 when they beat LSU at home.
Yeah.
Which I, that's the only one I would compare to it. But I think if you win that game, you have a chance to do something you haven't done.
Yeah.
So,
Mike, I'm going to ask you this because, you know, Carson and I broke down the season as a whole. What are your thoughts? I mean, like, how do you feel top to bottom about this team? How do you feel about the schedule? And what do you think the record is this year?
Well, I'll start with the negative and then go to the positive.
Okay, good.
At worst, we go 6-6, and that's, you know, like a lot of injuries, and you're just dealing with a whole bunch of BS and all that kind of stuff. And at best, either 9-3, and then, I mean, 10-2 is like a miracle, as if we're just everybody's clicking. I mean, we have the receiving.
10-2 is if you beat Georgia and like you go.
I mean,
I don't know. You got to win a game. You got to win two games.
No one thinks in the world you're going to win, basically.
Yeah. Right, right. Exactly. And that's just like a miracle. I think realistically 9-3 is the ceiling, but you never really know. You can get excited and talk about how you could maybe win, and then Georgia comes down and beats you by 50. You know, that's just sports, and that's how we do. I'd say 8-4 is my prediction. Vegas has it at like 7 or 6.5 or something like that.
I think it's
7.5 or 6.5.
I thought it was 6.5.
They normally do half.
It's so six and a half.
I'm pretty sure it's 6.5.
Hmm.
Because like, Vegas favors Louisville over us. They have some games that maybe I would be like, eh, I don't know about that one.
Yeah.
I think if it's 6.5.
I think it's going to be over 6.
We might put some motion on that. There might be some motion. Yeah.
But I mean, I really think that 9-3 is a ceiling because you got Texas, Tennessee, and Georgia. I mean, those are all going to be super tough games. If you win one of those, you still have the chance of Kentucky football pooping one later.
Andy.
Yeah, you lose the South Carolina week two for no reason.
If that happens, basketball season's on.
The Pope train, baby. Come on. I mean, I'll tell you this, though, and I'm just going to keep piling it on. You know, it's a Tuesday. I'm feeling pretty good. Can you imagine how awesome a Kentucky win over – and I, once again, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying it's going to happen. How awesome. 7:30 kick. That thing's birthday. Over.
I'll be having a good time.
Are you kidding me? Like that, let's just talk it into the universe. Everybody just say Kentucky's going to beat Georgia. Just say it to yourself while you're watching right now. And let's make this happen because we need this. I mean,
When's the last time we beat Georgia? 09, man. We need this.
We deserve this. I guess we did go to the college world.
409. I think it was like 04.
I remember we got a game.
04?
06.
Was it
06?
I thought it was an 09 around
was
there.
Was it 09?
I feel like it was around there. I think
maybe it was. Maybe did Joker beat Georgia once? I think we beat them two times.
No, it was Rich Brooks. Rich Brooks. So it might have been 07, 08.
Georgia had that period where they were super mid, but Kentucky was awful. So it's like mid triumphs the awful.
I think it was 06 because it wasn't. It may have been Andre Woodson, but it wasn't the Andre Woodson year where we beat LSU and Louisville.
I think Trevard Lindley made a game-sealing interception in that game, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, we were all, what, six?
We were young. Yeah, we were young. I remember going over to my Georgia friend's house and watching it. They were so mad.
But, I mean, I'm trying to think. Let me ask you this. Give me a percentage. So we're going to – do we all agree Brock Vandegrift is the week one starter? Does anyone have any – Mike, are you in? You're cool with that? Okay. What would you say the percentage chance, not based on injury, based on play, we see Gavin Wimsatt this season? Carson, go ahead.
The starting quarterback, right?
The percentage chance that he takes over at some point in the season.
Okay. I was going to say, if they run a 2QB system, then you'll see him more than you think. But as the starting guy, I would say 25%.
Yeah. I'm cool with that. Mike?
Repeat the question. Sorry, I was looking something up.
So,
well, Georgia and Kentucky, it was 2009 and 2006 were the last two.
Okay.
Wow. We were both right. Kind of right. Yeah.
Ball knowers.
But, yeah, repeat the question.
Well, so what I was saying is, what is the percentage chance that, not based on injury, which means Brock Vandegrift is playing poorly, do you think Gavin Wimsatt takes over as the starting quarterback this year because of poor play out of Brock, not injury, anything like that? What would you say the percentage chance of that happening is?
Probably. Carson was pretty close. I'd say like 20%, 25%. I mean, it would really take some poor play, obviously. And with no
play for multiple,
it's like with no injury involved, it's hard to even tell like what poor play is, because even Levis, you know, Levis was better in his first year, but he was dealing with what, that foot injury all his second year?
Yeah, he was hurt. His leg was hurt and they wouldn't let him run. So it handicapped him a little bit.
Right. So even like little injuries like that, it's hard to tell. So, I mean, if there's no injuries involved, I'd say he'll be the starter.
No doubt. Yeah. I mean, I think I am all in on that right there with you. And I think if you're a Kentucky fan, and you're answering that question at home, you want to say a low number. You want to be saying 20%, 15%, 10%. You don't want to be saying, you don't want to be saying 45%. You just don't want that. If you are a Kentucky fan and you want to see Kentucky succeed this season, you don't want to see another quarterback, unless it's obviously in packages. You know what I mean? And then that makes sense. But I think that if you are a fan of Kentucky football, you want Brock Vandegrift to be the guy week one through week 15. Is that how many it would take to go all the way through the 12-team playoff?
I think it's 16 now.
There you go. But point being that. So, but no, I'll let y'all wrap up your thoughts. But, I mean, to wrap up mine, I don't think that Gavin's going to in any way overtake Brock over the next 2-3 weeks. I don't think it's going to happen. I think Brock's the quarterback. And I'll tell you this. I think Brock's the quarterback the whole season. I think he's going to have a really good year. I think he is – all I've heard about him is that he's the classic first guy in, last guy out. I know it's a cliche, but I still take away a lot from that. When your teammates are saying that about you, that means something. I think he's a really hard worker, and I think he's going to be Kentucky's quarterback this year, and I think he's going to surprise some people. So that's my final thoughts. Mike, give us some final thoughts here on the quarterback stuff.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's officially August.
Yep.
The college football season starts at the end of the month. Mm-hmm. I got that little itch the other day where I was like, all right, it's coming on. It's still hot outside, but, you know, leaves are going to start falling soon. That brisk morning with college game day is going to start.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be back to where we want to be watching college football. And you heard it here first. The Red Brocket, he is going to be our starter. And, well, as far as we know. But I'm excited about it, and I think we're gonna do well this year. Carson?
Yeah, I agree. I think, I think the Red Brocket, as Mike
Love it.
Came up with, that's pretty awesome. I think he'll be our starter throughout the whole season. I think he'll have a good season. And, I mean, like I said, though, I think Gavin will play some. I think they will throw the two QB mix in just to get a little – show the defense something a little different than maybe they haven't seen before, which is exciting stuff too. But I had one more thing for you guys. How many players would you guess on the team would make first-team All-SEC after this season? Defense or offense?
Both?
Yeah.
I'm going to say – like all teams or just first team?
We can do all teams. That's all fair. Teams,
I'll say between 3 to 5 because you expect Deion Walker.
Yeah.
And
Deion Walker,
Barrion Brown will be somewhere in there. And
definitely
then, special. There'll be a wild – Maxwell Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a wild card in there, I'm sure. Somebody will – but – I wanted to mention this earlier, is like our wide receiver core, it's fairly similar to last year.
I think it's gotten better.
Right, I think it has. Right.
Right. So that'll help out the quarterback system as well. And yeah.
Because they've said in camp that Jamori Macklin and Fred Ferrier have been standouts. Yeah. So
really, Macklin's a dog. He's
alongside Berrion and Dane, that gets you excited because you have four weapons.
They got to play better this year. Both of them, though. Both, 100%. Them. Both Dane and Berrion need to play better this year. I think Dane than Berrion. Mm-hmm. But they got to play.
I'm ready to watch Berrion Brown return another 109-yard kick off. Come on.
Yeah,
he needs to take the first one of the year to the crib. That'd be
awesome. That would be awesome. Remember when Boom Williams first play a scrimmage that one season?
Boom Williams,
I do remember.
75 yards first play. That was exciting.
Yeah, oh my gosh! But I mean, no, I think that what we need is that first day of like 58. That's what we need. 58 degrees. We need that. I mean, it's like. I literally went out to my car today.
Flowing early.
I went out to my car today and almost passed out. It is too damn hot today. I've had enough of this.
It is hot.
Was that your entire outside experience today? Was you walking out?
No, I did something. Oh, I had to go get silverware for my mom.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I did leave the house today. Did that. But it is 92 out right now, and that's just not going to play, Coach. But – all right. Well, special thanks to Big Mike for showing up today.
Yeah.
Mike will be back for some football conversations, a little bit. And once again, I mean, hey, if you need fantasy football advice, he's the last person I'd call. He did. Just say it.
He made the playoffs over Andrew.
Made the playoffs, too. I also made the playoffs.
In the playoffs, it was the loser bracket of fifth and sixth place, and Andrew sadly came in sixth.
Does anyone know who won that league?
All right, that's going to do it for today. We will see y'all next time.
Back to back year.
Won twice. We've already had enough of this. You're not winning this year. Just know that right now.
Three-peat.
No, you're not. No, you're not.
Well, I'll be back for a basketball preview.
Yes.
Maybe football here and there.
We're going to have to preview Georgia game now. We're going to have to just convince thousands of Kentucky fans why Kentucky's going to beat Georgia. We're going to find a way. We're going to find a way.
If we're 2-0 going into that game, Kentucky will get up.
Okay, I do have one last question. Out of Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, easiest game out of three of those, who do you think we have the best chance of beating? I'll throw Tennessee in there too. Why not?
The tough part about that is like Georgia's the only one at home. I'd probably say Ole Miss just because
I would too.
Yeah, I think I would pick Ole Miss as well.
Tennessee, we
never win there.
But you want to know where those teams are ranked in the coaches poll? Because I have it right here.
Where?
Coach?
Georgia 1, Texas 4, and Ole Miss 6. So we're really in a great spot.
Kentucky, I think Kentucky has like a top 5 strength of schedule.
Yeah, Tennessee's 15.
But how many times has Ole Miss been ranked in the top like 12 to start the season, and then they finish the season 8-4? I mean, they're going to be a good team.
I'm telling you, I'm in on Ole Miss. I really am. But I'm also in on those other teams to where I don't think Kentucky's been able to go to Tennessee and win.
I think Georgia's the hardest out of all those games, and it's at home. That's the funny thing.
That is true. Yeah, well, I think that Tennessee's more beatable, is the most beatable of those teams, but Kentucky just can't beat them. It's like you got to beat them. You got to prove you can beat them with Heupel. You got to prove you can do it.
All right. I think 7-5, 8-4, that's going to be the range. And anything more than that, miracle. Anything less than that, I wouldn't say 6-6 is a disaster, but like it's pretty close to
what
it.
What happens if we don't make a bowl game?
I don't think that'd
be like if you're hanging on to a cliff and somebody just took a sledgehammer and just wham.
Yeah. That's a really good, exactly what would happen.
It would feel that way.
It would feel that way. No question. All right. Well, that is going to do it for today's episode of the Wildcats Today podcast. If you haven't already, hit that subscribe button. It helps the show a ton. Hit the thumbs up button and the notification bell, all that stuff. Helps a lot. Really appreciate y'all. Okay, Rupert Dunk Cam one more time for Mike before we call it a day. Like I said, appreciate y'all. Hope everyone has an outstanding rest of their day today, and we will see y'all on Thursday right here on the Wildcats Today podcast.